Right, I want to send greetings to you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing, Father, on this time together. Lord, we ask that you would help us, Father, as we open your word, that you would fill us with your spirit, God. That you would give us wisdom. Help us, Lord, I pray, to apply these things, the things we've heard, Father, Lord, that we might be what you would want us to be. Lord, as we watch and wait for your return, Lord, I pray that you would inspire us, Father, Lord, to be faithful to you. Again, we just thank you. Help us again in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to James chapter 1. Again, reading in verse 1, I've said many times I really appreciate these smaller books that were written by the men who walked and talked and lived and ate with Jesus while he was on this earth. You know, a lot of people build a lot of doctrines out of some of the things that Paul said There are good things there, but I just especially love these small books that are in the Bible that were written by these men that lived with him. Just such a blessing just to gain their insight. James, verse 1 says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who were dispersed abroad, greetings. You know, these disciples, these disciples, most of them were martyred. I think Peter, even Peter was martyred. Almost all of them were martyred. I think John was exiled. He's the only one that we don't exactly know how his end was, but like I said, these men, you know, we see them in the Gospels meeting and working and talking with Jesus, and we see their humanity, and I appreciate that. That gives us an insight, you know, whenever we think of Jesus being on the earth, he came as a man, and here he was working with these men that were just men. And I think that does well for us to begin at that foundation. You know, we have the concept that whenever we become Christians, we're supposed to be some kind of supernatural thing, that we set our goals way, way up there, you know. But when we actually look at what the Bible says, we see these people were just men. You know, that's where the problem, we begin to build our doctrines sometimes on, not on that foundation, but Jesus came to redeem men. And when he says redeem, it means to take us from where we were and to bring us back to where we're supposed to be. And that's what God created in the Garden of Eden, was a man that had choices, that felt and tasted and saw and heard the same things everyone, all of us around are doing. Anyway, and this James says, greetings. And then he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, here's one of the first things that in reality goes against us. You know, when we encounter trials, the first thing we do is want to get discouraged or get upset or get angry, because we're having a trial. And James and his advice and his wisdom, and he tells us to consider it a joy. You know, a lot of times it's so easy for us to get annoyed when things don't go right. And then we get annoyed, and then that builds, and we dwell on that, and then pretty soon we get upset. And pretty soon we might even get angry because something's annoying us. You know, and we can just take all kinds of countless things that upset our pretty little bubble that we want to live in where nothing ever bothers us. But James has us look at this a whole different way. He says, consider it joy when you encounter these various trials. You know, that's, he said, count it all joy when we find these things. Because in reality, what makes us strong are those challenges that we have. You know, we want to grow. We want to be better. We want to become closer to God. We want to be more like Jesus. The way to do that is through things that knock the edges of the things on us that aren't supposed to be, and challenge those areas that we need strengthened in. But, you know, we all say that. We say we want those things, but then when they start happening, the first thing we do is get all upset about it, or we get annoyed about it. We don't like it because it's not comfortable. It's breaking into our little shell of, you know, of perfect peace that we want. You know, the little saying is that, you know, if you want patience, if you want patience, you ask God for it. You know, we've heard that people say, don't ask God for patience, because the first thing he'll do is just start putting things in your way that annoy you and cause you to lose your patience. Well, that's the very principle that I'm talking about here. He gives us the things we need to make us better. Count that as joy. If we can get our mindset around, we're trying to be more like Jesus. If that's where our heart is and that's where our goal is, count it all joy when we encounter these things. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You know, Bill talked about anger. You know, somebody losing their temper. And I think one of the things that we tend to do whenever we talk about losing our temper is what we try to do is take away our temper so we don't have any temper. We want to live in this little bubble where nothing bothers us. And anything that happens, we just have no temper at all. We know if you have a piece of metal and it has no temper, it's just hardly any value at all. You know, God gave us a temper. God gave us, and that temper is what gives us our strength. The problem is losing our temper. You know, just a ball of mush that just goes along, flow, you know, just everything. They just fall for everything. You know, the saying is, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. We need some sand. We need some strength. We need some temper. And that's what makes us strong. That's what gives us the courage to be able to endure these annoyances. The problem is we wind up getting mad when we get annoyed instead of for what's really right. You know, when we look at Jesus, he got angry a few times. One time he got so angry he braided a whip and turned over the cages and drove everybody out of the temple. You know, most of us would be shocked to someone getting that upset. But yet Jesus did. He had some temper. There were several times that in the Bible, it shows that he got upset. But it was always for a righteous cause, a real righteous cause, not just because I got offended, or not just because someone offended him, but it was for a purpose. It wasn't because things weren't going his way. It wasn't because his little perfect little bubble got upset. He was trying to bring in the life into this world. He was here for a purpose and a cause. And there were people trying to overthrow that. You know, one time he got upset whenever they were arguing about trying to avoid the little children. And he said, "Bring the little children to me." You know, whenever someone's trying to hinder the gospel, when someone's trying to hinder others from living out the gospel, most of the time he was upset, it was with the religious people who thought they were righteous, trying to cram their righteousness down somebody else's throat. That's when he got upset. You know, but even in his upsetness, he was never out of control. He wasn't just punching his fist through a wall because he was mad. He wasn't kicking something because things didn't go his way. He was under control. You know, when that term losing our temper is, you lose it. It's out of control. That's not strong. Because anything that you're out of control, it may sound tough and mean, but if it's out of control, you're not strong. It's a weakness. Temper is something that keeps you where you're supposed to be. Solid. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. It's steady. You know, it's things that, you know, a lot of times whenever you see somebody that gets upset in the right way, it's always the same thing that's causing that. Let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Here, you know, look who he's talking. This testing of your faith. Enduring. And it's those people. Someone with some strength that he can guide. And he says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally. That's one of the promises that's unhindered, completely open, that God will give us wisdom. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Here we have that. Untemper. Something that's untempered. It's tossed by the wind. You know, sometimes when we think someone's got a temper, we're afraid of them because they're big and strong or whatever, and they've got a temper, and they, you know, a lot of times you hear somebody, everybody's afraid of them because they know the octave level's going to go way high and there's going to be a big scene. You know, they're blown by the wind. They're up here, they're down here. They're up here, they're down here. You know, but that endurance is where we find our strength. The man that's blown here and there, it's not got the foundation to have that wisdom. That wisdom comes from pursuing through these things, not being tossed about everywhere. You know, we live in a time where there's constantly some new fad in religion that we're trying, that's being tossed back and forth. By the way, whatever the popular tide is what we're going to do. You know, I've just been thinking about it lately that whenever someone becomes newly converted, I just think of ourselves. You know, many of us, whenever we started following the Lord, we started reading the Bible and we started seeing that things don't add up with just going to church and being religious and doing whatever we want to or living however we want to live and still call ourselves Christians. We began to see that the Bible requires something of us to be a new creature. And so we start making changes in our lives. And right away there's opposition. You know, the sad thing is we think that, well, the world, we expect the world to oppose us because we're trying to follow the Lord. But what happens is we are all excited and all ready to follow the Lord, and we go to church, and right away, it's the church that starts fighting us and opposing us. You know, whenever I've told, you know, before about just being concerned about watching it today, what would seem like a humble TV set. You know, had three local stations that was closely regulated. There wasn't all this cable. There wasn't internet. There wasn't YouTube where you can watch anything in the world you want to watch. It was just a television set that was one in Springfield and one in Joplin's show, you know, and they were all regulated very tightly. And if anything was wrong on there, people all over would be all over the radio calling or the television telling them, we don't want this. And they'd alter the way they program things. And yet, I didn't want my children being influenced or trained by that thing. You know, and it was a fight just to get rid of it. We didn't want it in our home. I didn't want my children trained that way. So we kept our children from those things. The battle was with the religious people there. You know, today it just seems a lot of that's just kind of us, you know. With our children, we just don't mind letting them have free reign to all of that. Just give them a phone, give them the internet, and let them have it. You know, I wonder if our young people, you know, do you have the courage just to say, we don't want that? We don't want that. You know, it's kind of the popular thing just to go ahead and bring it right in. Do we have the courage? You know, and if somebody didn't have it, would some of our peers right here among us kind of be upset, thinking they're trying to be too holy? Some things to think about. You know, it takes some courage to let other people make decisions that you don't understand or don't know about. takes some wisdom to know what's right. It takes some courage to say, I don't want my children doing that. All the other children are coming all around and telling what they've been doing and what they've been seeing, and we've got to tell our children, you know, we've got to somehow instill them. Don't be jealous of them. Don't be thinking you're something special because you don't do that. You know, it kind of, we need wisdom in things like that to be able to handle this. Not to be tossed about with every wave or every fad that comes along. Like I said, I'm talking this to us. How we kind of go a broader level and see, you know, all the different fads. So, well, it's popular to do this, and it's popular to do that, and it just kind of moves along. God's looking for somebody with enough temper to be a righteous man and not be tossed by all those things to and fro. Being a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God's looking for rocks. You know, Jesus was the rock. And even though he was the rock, he wept sometimes. It's a man of sorrows. And even though he was a rock, he became angry sometimes. But I'll guarantee you he wasn't tossed to and fro. We need that kind of strength to be able to do what's right. Wherever we are. Being, you know, these trials and these things that come upon us. A rock just does what they're supposed to do wherever they are. You know, we sometimes have situations where we're put in a situation where things go trouble. We have trouble right at home, right close sometimes. Maybe one of the brothers, maybe our husband or our wife, or maybe a brother or sister, or maybe somebody in church, they just don't do right. And we are the ones that take the hit for it. We have to live with it. It's uncomfortable. And the first thing to do is put our own righteousness on and just say, I'm going to fix that and get rid of it. I'm going to do this or that. And we get all upset. And we get bent out of shape. But when someone's doing this, or we're called to be in a place where maybe the closest person to us is a trial to us, is a burden to us, that gives us the opportunity to encounter these trials and count it all joy. That's where God wants you to be right now. Right now is where, that's where He wants you to be. That's where He wants you to be going through. And if you can do that full of joy, you know what? You're setting it up to help that person 1,000 times better than if you're all upset and nagging at them all the time, trying to fix them. Do your part to count it all joy, not looking down upon them like, oh, I'm doing better, I'm really suffering because I'm a martyr. No. You just go through it and say, praise God. God's working on me. And He's left that person there to whatever they're having to go through, whatever they're struggling with, whatever they're having to deal with that's really causing me a lot of problems, I want to be there like a rock for them to get them through whatever they're going through. Be that rock. I don't know, when several years ago, whenever we were still with one of the first churches we came out with, and an old man came up to me and he just said, you know, we were talking about discussing something, I don't know what it was, maybe there was, and the old man just came up and he said, he told me I was a rock. That's one of the biggest compliments that I've ever had. That just being a rock, being solid. And I've not felt like I've always lived up to that. But that's what I want to be. I don't want to be tossed to and fro by every little thing that comes along. You know, we had to learn some things, and we have learned some things. That's the difference between being a rock and a rock head. You know, a rock can learn some things and say, wait a minute, I was wrong. And so now, instead of just being tossed to and fro, they're able to shift to get a little better on that right, more solid foundation. Now, I'm not talking about just getting your mind made up and never changing it. That's not what it means, not to be tossed to and fro. It means whenever you see a better path, you take it. But you don't take it just because everybody else is doing it, or it's the new popular thing. Because usually if it's the right path, it's not the popular thing. It's not the thing that everybody else is getting caught up in. Being that righteous man with enough sand, with enough temper, with enough courage, just to do what you're supposed to do, irregardless of whether you have any help, irregardless of whether you're opposed on every side, just being strong and faithful, not getting all upset because things aren't going your way, but just being that rock. Being a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, but the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. Now, that's almost a contradiction. The brother in the humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. You know, if God has put you with a challenge with you, put you in a difficult situation, it's a humble circumstance. But it is the glorious opportunity to glory in its high position. You know, it may sound like it may mean you get beat up. It may mean you get yelled at. It may mean you spend nights all up all night. You may just have all kinds of problems. You have that opportunity in that humble position to be patient, to be full of grace, to be a rock, not tossed to and fro, not all upset because you can't be happy. The problem is, you can be happy in all of that, knowing that this is the will of God for you. That's where that faith comes in. He must ask in faith without doubting. You know, when we say, Lord, thy will be done, there is no telling what you're going to go through. But if you pray, thy will be done, and you mean it, thy will be done, and whatever he puts you in, you just go through it. You be a rock, and you be solid. And then you'll be that man that can ask for wisdom. Then you'll be that person that in a humble circumstance can glory in a high position. Anyway, may the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Bless y'all. We'll meet back here at 6 o'clock this evening, Lord willing. God bless you. Depart in peace.